Hey, so we have been talking over the last weeks about resourcing, about how God wants to resource us so that we can be a blessing and a resource to others. Last week, we very specifically talked about the heart of resourcing, the heart of giving. And the heart of giving is always generosity. We talked about how Jesus was so extraordinarily generous to us personally. You know, going to the cross, leaving heaven, everything that he's done for us has been nothing but just lavishing us with his grace and his love. And so in like kind, that should be our heart as well. Discipleship is always moving closer and closer to be more and more like Jesus. And as he has been so amazingly generous, so should we. That is always to be the heart behind giving. But today, and in the next week or two, we're gonna move from the heart of giving to more of the how of giving. And specifically today, we're even gonna be looking at the who. Who are we to give to? What does God's word tell us? Now, I know this has been an unusual morning where we packed a lot of different elements of church life in. So because we're in a series, the cool thing is that at the appropriate moment today, we're just gonna put a comma. And then we'll come back next week and we'll continue the teaching. But as we talk about moving from kind of the heart of worship to the hands, actually how we do this thing, I want to look at an amazing scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up there, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. If you don't have your Bible, we'll put it up on the screen for you. But Paul here, the Apostle Paul, is talking to the church in Corinth, and this is what he says about giving. Now, we've been talking about generosity in the spirit and the heart of giving, but now he is talking about dollars and cents. He's not just talking about the warm feeling of generosity, and he's talking about actually when it comes down to what do we do with the cash, the resource that God deposits in our life, and what are we to do with that money and resource? And he says this. He says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Everybody say excel. Excel. Listen, excelling has to do with like an abundance. Whatever we excel in, we're doing it abundantly. In fact, that very same word that's translated excel there, I want to read you one other scripture that has to do with excelling. It's found in Ephesians 1. And Paul writes there and says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, listen, that he lavished on us. That lavishing was God just excelling in abundance in the way that he has given. That generosity of spirit literally coming forth in tangible resourcing ways. And so, So we're being told here that just as you've learned how important it is to excel in your faith, to totally trust in God's promises, just in the same way that you have learned to excel in your love and how crucial it is to be loving, now we also see that we're told that we are to excel in this grace called giving. We're to grow in it, folks. We're to learn so that it becomes such a part of who we are as disciples of Jesus that it's like there's this abundance that is flowing through our lives. And I'm telling you, when we catch this in our spirit, man, it shows up in all the different areas of our life. It doesn't just show up kind of like an offering time, you know, when we worship the Lord with our financial gifts. It doesn't just show up there. It shows up in every way that we live our lives, because we live as generous people, but that generosity literally turns into physical, tangible resources for others. Then he says this second thing in 2 Corinthians 8, 7, and 8. He says, excel in this grace of giving. But then I want you to see this one last thing that he says here, because it reminds me of what we've been talking about since the very beginning of this series on resourcing. He says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test you. Wow. This giving is a test. And we've been talking about that. This is the third time that this has come up as we've been looking through the New Testament about giving and generosity. He says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. See, it's like as others have already caught this reality that we're to excel in this grace of giving, that we're to grow in it, to be more and more like Jesus in the way that our generosity impacts the gifts that we give. He says, this is actually a test. I'm testing the sincerity of your love. Are we going to believe in what God has promised, that he is going to be our resourcer, that he is the one who will provide us all that we need, so then we can trust him and we can be that conduit and of blessing and of resource to others? Or are we going to kind of fail the test by saying everything? Remember the difference between the river and the pond that we were talking about the other week? It's kind of like, or do I fail the test by believing that all resource is for moi? It is all coming in here and it's all going to stay in my little stagnant pond of resource. And as we talked about last week, it's a lot more fun to live in the river than in the stagnant pond. And it said, we're called to be this conduit of blessing, and it's a test. It's a test, he says, of our love. I'm reminded of a quote from a famous missionary of days gone by. Her name was Amy Carmichael. And Amy said this. She said, you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Whew. Now, that's a profound thought. Now, we can give with no emotion. We can give just out of really cold, calculated giving, you know? But I'm telling you, when we love, we must give. Our love and our giving are completely tied together. Now, in the last weeks, we talked about God's economic policy. God's economic policy, we have a slide for this, that he resources us so we can be a resource to others. And that is the way God has set up his kingdom economy, that he resources us so that we can be a resource to others. Now, last week, we looked at a scripture that, and I want to go back to this very briefly because it sets the stage and really inks in our hearts and our spirits the reality of God's economic policy. And it's found just in the next chapter over, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 and 11, says this, and God will generously provide all you need. Praise the Lord. Then you will always have everything you need and what? And plenty left over to share with others. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be what? Generous. Say it again. You can be what? Generous. See, God resources us so that we can be generous in the resourcing of those around us. And I love what it says. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So this economic policy ends up, the goal is glorifying the Lord. Other people who are resourced. Central Coast Rescue Mission, you heard them just saying thank you. So much of results when our generosity is poured out, it results in people saying thank you, Lord, for how you're resourcing these needs that we have. So, we're to resource others. Who are we to resource? And this morning, I want to look at what the New Testament says. This is probably not a complete and total list of everything that we could come up with, but I want to give you three primary things that the New Testament teaches us about who we are to resource. And we have a slide for this as well. We are to resource our family, we are to resource our church, and we are to resource those in need. Let's talk about that first one. Man, there is a scripture that if you haven't come across this and realize that God's stream of resourcing is not just to resource those outside of your household, but to resource your household, I want you to see what Paul wrote to his spiritual son, 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Oh my gosh. Come on, Paul, give us a little slack here. Now, I love how blunt scripture can be. I love that when we turn to the Bible for answers, man, we don't have to like wonder. Like, no, God is really clear in the way he communicates to us to challenge us and to even bring correction to us. Listen, the resource that God brings in, I believe that before it goes anywhere else. Now, some of you might say, wow, are you sure? Are we supposed to not like give to the Lord first? Well, we're going to get to that and we'll be talking more about that. But you know what? I know that it comes right under your roof first. I know that when you get a paycheck or you get whatever stream of resource that helps you pay your bills, I know that it shows up on your little desk first. And you know what? There are mouths to feed. There's a roof to put over your head. There's things that have to be taken care of right there in your home. And what I want you to see is that God has intended for you to resource your home. I believe that, and again, there might be many, many reasons why I believe this is so important to the Lord, that we care for our household needs. Now listen, not all of our household wants and desires, but our household needs. I believe that there are two things that this has to really do with. Number one is our witness, and secondly, with our mission. Let me tell you what I mean. The world is watching you. Anybody that knows that you are a follower of Jesus is watching your life. They're seeing how you conduct yourself in just the very normal aspects of doing life. Do you show up to work on time? What is your language like, right? How do you invest the resources that come in? And you know what? When a non-believing world sees that you pay your bills on time, that you are wise with the money that God gives you, and that you're not being like excessive or somehow being so lavish that it actually undermines the testimony of God, but that you are a giving and generous individual and that you are caring for the needs right there in your own home. You know what? There is an integrity that is seen in that. And can I tell you that I believe that part of our witness to the world around us is being people of integrity. That when we say we're going to do something, we do it. And one of the things that comes every month is those bills. Those things that we have to care for. And I'm telling you, it's a matter of integrity in the Lord that we pay our bills. We don't have time to go into everything that the Word has to say about people who don't pay their bills. It ain't good. It really ain't good. Because it is a reflection not just on you, but who do we represent? We represent the Lord. So when we're operating in non-integrity, our witness goes down the toilet, and everybody that is watching us would question whether we are really people of faith and we're really following after Jesus. It's hardcore. Pay our bills. Pay your bills. Take care and resource your home. And Paul said it so strongly that those who fail to care and resource for their household, it says, man, these are like people that have lost their faith or even worse than unbelievers. See, unbelievers know how to care for and pay their bills, some of them. So we to maintain our witness in the community so that when we open our mouths and begin to share about Jesus, there's validity there. Because our integrity will open doors to share with people because they're going to trust what we have to say. The second thing, one, I think that our witness is really impacted if we don't catch this. But the second thing that's impacted is our mission. And I want to talk particularly right now to parents. Listen, one of the primary missions that God has given you is not just to disciple people outside of your home, but to disciple your children first. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, there is a discipling aspect to what it means to be a parent. And listen, we don't get it right. I didn't get it all right. I praise God every day for my children and that they're still living, they're breathing, and they're generally following after the Lord in very beautiful and positive ways. But can I tell you, the one of the main things that God has given me as an assignment as a daddy is to disciple my children. So you know what? That means that I have to learn to prioritize people over things. See, part of the discipleship process within my home has been to have to prioritize what we spend our money on in order that it does not hinder their discipleship, but advances their discipleship. So partly that means that we did not get them everything that their little hearts desired as they grew. Because can I tell you that when all we do is just lavish junk on our kids and just give them the newest, the biggest, the best, the hottest, the brightest, the shiniest, the most sparkly, that, but daddy, I really want that thing. What we're doing is we're actually hindering their discipleship because they begin to believe that life is about stuff and that life is about the accumulation of things rather than about God, about loving God and loving people. So we can be really harmful in our discipleship and our mission as parents if we're giving too much. Can I say that the opposite is also true? That if we are misappropriating our finances, well, what do you mean by misappropriating? I mean, listen, that God has resourced our family, but that we are making choices to do dumb things like credit card debt. I know, listen, debt comes all different ways, and sometimes we feel trapped and we get into really hard places. I'm not here to rain on your parade. But I was thinking of something cooler to say, but that's all that came to my mind. I'm not here to rain on you. But listen, when we're making poor decisions with the resources that come in, it inhibits our ability to advance things in our kids' life that would actually be discipling opportunities and moments. You know, one of the things that we prioritized as a family was vacations. You know what? I believe that actually taking time with our family, going away, spending really amazing time together. It does not have to be lavish. It does not have to be, you know, intensely expensive. But can I tell you that there's something that happens when we get away, when we go away together as a family that enhances our love for each other, that we get rid of the distractions of life and we're actually able to speak things into each other's life that are life-giving. We're making memories as a family together that I believe that God will accelerate in forms that we would call discipleship. That actually growing together closer as a family advances the possibility that they're also going to grow in relationship with Jesus and that the relationship of mom and dad with God is going to be a relationship that they're going to say, I want that relationship too. So our witness and our mission is, I believe, very essential to God wanting to resource our families, our homes, that we would be people of integrity, and that we would also be people of mission who are prioritizing people, our kids first, over things. And I believe that something happens when we do that that advances God's mission in the world because he wants to use us to be a conduit of this blessing. We're blessed so we can be a blessing. We are resourced so we can resource others. I saw this alive in my parents' story. I probably am really passionate about how God will resource a family, that there would be resource right there in that household through the way my parents lived their lives. My parents were very modest, humble people. Did not live lavishly. And from the time I was about in kindergarten all the way through the time I was all grown up, they were in full-time ministry. So one, they had to rely on the generous gifts of others to be able to do what they were called to do. My dad traveled around the world and ministered in both in healing and evangelism and in life and marriage and family relationships. My mom also, once we were grown out of the house, she began traveling with him and was a fantastic teacher. Both were authors, and my parents had their own TV show for a season of just helping married couples. Listen, they were such humble, modest people, and we never had a lot of what you would call economic resource. We never had a lot of money flowing through the bank accounts, but we were always cared for. But here's one of the things that I watched my parents do, is that they practiced radical hospitality. And one of the reasons I believe that God wants to resource to come to our homes is that we would not be able to not just only use it for me, my spouse, my children, but also that we would open up our doors for others. And during my time of living at home, I should have done a better job beforehand counting how many people lived with us in our home, but it would have been well over a dozen. We had a family of five live with us for most of my latter years of elementary school right up through middle school. In fact, I have one brother biologically, but for most of those years, there were four or five of us in one bedroom that was a converted garage. So, you know, we look around these homes around us and we go, man, look at all those families living in those homes. Man, look at they're trying to figure out their resource. We got all these families living. That was my family. You know, we got all these cars out here on the street. Man, well, look, that must be so many people. That was my driveway. I have great empathy for the people of Santa Maria in our neighborhood because that was the way I grew up. But listen, we had families live with us. We had very broken individuals. Then my parents would say, you know what, why don't you come and live under our roof for a season? We had neighbors that ended up living with us for seasons. And we had some people that lived with us for so many years that actually my mom and dad are still their mom and dad. See, that all was made possible because God resources us so that we can be a resource. And I want to tell you, I believe that, and listen, when we get to next week, I'm going to unpack these other two about God wants us to give to our church and that God wants us to give to those in need. So come back for the second part of this story next week. But I want to tell you that I believe that it is so strategic that your home becomes a channel of resource for those in the home and for all of those that God would say, open your doors to them. Whether it's invite them over for a meal or invite them over for a year. Practice hospitality. It's all throughout the New Testament teaching. Just Google it. The Bible and hospitality, what does it say? Radical hospitality. Because it has to do with our witness and it has to do with our mission. Are you with me so far? Well, listen, we're going to put that comma right there. We're going to come back next week and talk about who we're to give towards. And then, I don't know, we're going to have to wrestle. Kelly and I are going to have to arm wrestle on about Mother's Day, whether I'm going to bring a message on resourcing or on moms, or maybe both. We'll see.